What's up, everybody? Dan at Go Live. Welcome and happy Thanksgiving. I hope everyone's safe and having a good time. If you're not on break, well, you're with me. If you are, definitely get the party started. Today is kind of a cool day, really designed for anybody looking to get ahead and done with college apps finally. So if you're a senior or a parent of a senior, today will be very informative. And so if you have friends who are also planning college, today will probably be one of the most informative, fast-paced episodes because we're just going to go through loose ends, right? What are all the things that you just got to final check on before apps are over? And this list will probably kind of apply every year. The good news is that I won't be alone today. So I actually thought I was going to be, but we actually have a surprise guest who just went through the app season last year and is actually now a student at USC. So I'm actually super psyched to get started with her. Her name's Durga. But before then, you know, definitely hit the subscribe button, like it, drop a comment. If you guys want to see any other kind of video covering any other topic, whether it's, I don't know, how to stand out from other people, or if you're cooler than that, how to get over some crazy parents, obviously we'd be happy to talk about that, whether it's in a podcast or who knows, over here at the office or over video or something. But without further ado, let's get started. Durga, where are you at? Are you around time?
I am right here. Hello.
What's up? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
It's good to see you. I'm digging the dew. I think I already told you that. You look awesome. And man, it felt like yesterday when we were hanging out at Phil's Coffee, COVID, you know, not a care in the world. And now it's like I look over and they all pretty much have boards on the windows.
I know. It was so sad. The last time I was in town, I was able to go into the shop like one day. And then after that, everything had closed down. I was like, oh my God, my home.
So for anybody who doesn't know, now you know. Durga and I pretty much did all our work at Phil's. And if it wasn't at Phil's and it was over Phil's or something like that. And she was a blast to work with as a student, as a friend, and you know, as a super cool person who's out to do some awesome stuff with the world. I'm not kidding. Seriously, she's going to be an author. It's kind of a secret. So let you all know.
Fingers crossed.
You know, I mean, the focus today is just, you know, is tips, you know, tips and advice for students who are applying to college, you know, for the very first time and hopefully the last. And so, you know, Durga, I'm sure you come equipped with some memory of what it was like. But before we hit that, you know, I guess tell us, you know, who you are and where you're from and who you are. This is starting to sound like a Backstreet Boys song.
Sure. So Dan already introduced me. My name is Durga Arjun. I am a sophomore at USC. I'm currently studying international relations and narrative studies. I attended Mission San Jose High School, which I'm sure, like, Dan, you still have some students who go there. Guys, you're gonna get through it. I promise. It'll be okay. the past year in college, I would say, has been, like, pretty transformative for me. Just because, like, when I was in high school, and I think, like, a lot of people can resonate with the sentiment, like, you're just waiting to get to college, and you're thinking, like, oh, my God, this is, like, the solution to all of my problems. Surprise, surprise, it's not. Like, college is still not going to be the easiest, but it's definitely like a hell of a lot better than high school, at least for me. Just in terms of like the freedom that you get and like the amount of exploration you can do and the people that you meet, I would definitely say like college is a few steps above high school, just in terms of all of that. And in terms of like the realizations I've made about myself that I definitely could not have done in high school, I would say college has been an amazing experience, although it's definitely not like the fairy tale that I think like a lot of people and universities sell to us. So
I just remember it being so much easier than high school. And we'll probably have you back to talk, have a separate conversation entirely about like the compare and contrast. But, you know, I just remember like, man, like I can actually choose my own teachers.
And yeah, exactly. That's like,
I can choose what days and what times I have class. Like, what? I don't have to take six periods. I can have three or four. I was like, okay, this is,
yeah.
It's, like you said, it's freedom, right? And I was like, this is liberating and I can really kind of be in command of like my learning experience. And I felt like high school was the complete opposite. Like you felt like you're boxed in at all times. You have this number of electives you can take and you have the GE stuff you have to do. And it's like, man, like, in addition to all that, I'm compressed for time because of standardized testing, ECs, life, you know, holy cow. So it was like crazy, but yeah. I mean, do you feel like it's easier, I guess, in that way, or?
I wouldn't say like work wise, it's easier. Like obviously, like I'm a college student, it's not going to be easier than high school, but I would definitely say in terms of like the freedom that I have and like the ability that I have to structure my days, it gives me a lot more time and it makes everything a lot easier for me.
So if you had one tip to anybody watching this right now, what would it be? Whether it's pertaining to, I don't know, high school or applying to college, I mean, what would it be? What's the single tip?
If I had one tip to give anyone who's watching this, who's in high school, who might be like struggling to decide what they want to study, or like if they're, what they truly want to study is like going to be approved by their parents, I would 100% just say like, go for it. Like you're in college one time, you have one shot to make your experience your own and like get the most out of it. So truly, like even if your parents aren't going to agree with it, take classes in like that subject, take electives in that subject. Like, and if you truly feel like you're passionate about it, just like study it. Like your parents really, as much as I hate to say it and as much as I hate to hear it, they have the illusion of control over you at this point. Like they really can't dictate what you do. So if you only have one shot, like just do it. Like put your full self into it, put everything you have into it, and you will make it work for yourself.
Before we dive into the final checklist for seniors who are applying, I'm going to just make one slight amendment to Durga's statement right there, and that is changing the word it to them, plural, because there are so many subjects you can learn about, and
it's absolutely
mind-boggling how much we don't get exposed to, not only in like high school, but even before that. It's like, I should have learned society and sociology when I was in like the third grade. Like, it would have been good to know, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
Like... but yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I had a classmate, my final point on this is at Berkeley, he was a triple major. His name was Michael Lin, and he ended up working with me at Google, by the way, and not the same team, but he was, I remember asking him like, so Mike, what do you study? Cause he asked me that. I don't like to ask people that, but he was like, what do you study? I'm like, oh, I'm studying business. And he's like, just say Haas. I'm like, no, I'm not a Haasful. I'm studying business. I'm a business major. And I'm like, well, what are you studying, man? He's like, well, I don't know. What am I not studying? I was like, what? I'm like, what are your majors? And he's like, okay, well, I'm studying Chinese. I'm studying history and I'm studying math. I'm like, bro,
that is a dope combination. I'm actually also learning Chinese.
I'm like, so. Before I ask you what I think everyone else has asked you, which is like, what do you plan on doing with that? And I'm like, Michael, you know what? I'm not going to ask that because I don't care. I think you'll be fine. I'm like, if you can get through all three of those at Berkeley, I'm like, I don't care. It doesn't really matter what you end up doing. I think you'll be fine. I'm like, but why? And he's like, I'm just so interested in like everything. And he's like, if I can major in more things, I would. I'm like, oh my God. So I ended up, you know, we ended up working at Google together at the Mountain View headquarters, which is pretty cool. But anyway, let's get into it, man. I mean, let's help these seniors make some wise decisions in their college applications over the next, I don't know, call it 10, 15 minutes or something like that. But we'll figure it out. I mean, there's no time. Let's start with essays. And I'm going to call it out because this is actually kind of funny. I was chatting with Durga just a moment ago. She's actually also helping various seniors with their college application essays. I'm going to call it out. What is the one thing you got to start with checking? Okay, since UC applications are like legit right around the corner and you have like other stuff like UT Austin, USC, guys, read the prompt. I've been doing a lot of final day checks for like our seniors and it is baffling to me because we've been working with them for a while now and they're not following my instructions. Well, not everyone, but some of them are not following my instructions and they're not answering the prompt. And I'm like, guys, you're under the word count. You're fine, 349 flush, but you're not even answering the prompt. And let me give you guys a couple examples of what I've seen this. Love to hear what you found, or some examples you found, Durga. But one of them I've seen is one of them is definitely missing is definitely like prompt, I think prompt 6. I don't know why, but this year you see prompt 6, which is describe an academic subject that has inspired you, how you've built, you know, you developed that interest over time inside and outside of class. And everybody is talking about a profession. They're like, oh, doctor this, doctor that. Oh, you know, I don't know, some profession that I'm really interested in. I want to become a programmer. And so this is what I've done. I've done this, and this, and I've done these projects. And, you know, I just really want to do that. Guys, it's asking for an academic subject, not a job, right? So stop talking about the job. Talk about the job at the end of the essay, literally the very end, okay? You can say, and with this, I aspire to become, but it shouldn't be what your essay is about. Your essay should be about how you developed an interest in an academic subject over time inside and outside the classroom. So, and by the way, pay attention inside and or, but obviously they want the and statement. and outside of the classroom. You want to talk about all the varying experiences you've had with it. And so that's like a really, really top suspect. Durga, what other examples or thoughts have you had?
Well, I haven't had as much trouble with people like not directly answering the prompt, more so they're not really like revealing anything about themselves when they're answering the question. Mm-hmm. So like one huge piece of advice that I can give you with these essays is to be vulnerable. Like you have to show these admissions officers who exactly you are, because again, you only have 350 words to do that. So you need to make sure that every sentence that you're putting forward is like progressing the narrative that you want to put forth and like is really showing these officers like who you are. So it needs to be much more of a show, not tell approach. And in saying that, I mean, like you need to talk about what exactly is motivating you to study these subjects. Like, why are you doing this? And the end goal, like while it can be like, oh, I want to be a programmer or I want to be a research scientist. Like I would say that they want to see more so how you're going to use that job or profession or whatever skills you've picked up or are going to pick up in college, how you're going to use that to like be a better person and contribute to the world around you.
I like how you put that. You know, related to that is like, I have my students do two things. In fact, I recommend this for anybody, even if we've already, you know, reviewed your essays, guys, do this as a final check. Read your essays out loud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Read it out loud and you'll catch things. Like you'll catch tone, you'll catch errors in grammar. You'll just catch things and wait, that sounds a bit off. Sometimes it's just a word. It's like, oh, I don't really like that word. It's like, yeah, maybe I should flip it to something else, you know? So read it out loud, guys. It really helps you in that final check to really kind of capture the message, the meaning, or lack thereof, right? And I think related to that is, you know, as Durga said, like make every sentence count. I understand that not everybody has, in my opinion, the skills to even like have that recognition, but let me give you a simple way, a concrete recommendation on, or a tip on how to try to do that, which is one, never go more than two sentences without using the words I or me. Because literally I've analyzed like almost like actually more than 10 years of like this stuff from my own work with students. And like, that's a pattern I've noticed is like, whenever a student starts talking about a situation or quotes or a theory or somebody else more than they're talking about themselves, it's no longer an essay about you.
Exactly.
And so it's, you become so much more distant. You're no longer the main character. This is a personal statement that's supposed to be personal about you. And so, you know, how do you drive more sentences about you when you feel like maybe there's nothing else to write about? And it's what Durga's mentioning, which is like, be vulnerable. Tell us how you were feeling at the time, not just what was going on or what you did, but how were you feeling? You know, and like, for instance, like a biggest piece, like a missing piece I've seen in like leadership essays is exactly this. Like there is no meaningful leadership experience without a struggle, you know, without a challenge, right? So it's like, be vulnerable. Tell us exactly what was going on, not only externally the problem, but internally. Like what were some of those challenges that you had to confront and face? And it's okay. In fact, it's more than okay. You have to be vulnerable to have a good arc to your story, right? So that's an excellent point. Essays, anything else? I mean, the final checks, I mean, beside answering the prompt straightforward, Durga, do you got anything?
I would just say like, try to have fun with it. Like yeah, as hard as it can be. Like, I mean, I'm obviously speaking from like a little bit of a privileged standpoint right now, because like I've taken English classes in college and things like that. But like I tried as much as I could to have fun with my essays in high school. Like there were several prompts where I would just pull the most out of whack things out of like my brain and write about that. Like there was an essay that we were supposed to write about collaboration and teamwork. Mm. And I wrote about how my family and I like constructed this maze to try and catch a mouse that was in our house. Like just little experiences that can seem insignificant can actually make for some of the best college essays.
I agree.
Dig deep and try to find those like unique kind of quirky, like sort of out of pocket experiences that you can like pick on and write about.
And I guess, yeah, here's some last tips on my end on essays. I mean, one, I think be careful, definitely like a warning. Don't put too many cooks in the kitchen. So like, I've known also recently, like I've had a few students who are like, okay, I'm going to ask my friend what they think. I'm going to ask all these other people what they think. I'm going to ask this person who goes to Berkeley and LA and Harvard what they think. And truth is, guys, there's only one person who knows your story. It's you, right? Exactly. So it's like, you can like hear what all these other people have to say, but the only person who really has any right to tell the story is you, right? So, you know, on that note, it's like, you know, be careful. You have to differentiate or distinguish rather between stylistic feedback and like actual structural concept feedback. Because like what I've learned a lot of people have to say about people's essays is like, I feel like you should have done this instead or said it this way. And again, what you're allowing them to do is dictate their own style, right, upon your essay. And that's not fair to you, right? So I'm going to say, try to really kind of talk in your own voice, be you, right? Going back to what Durga just said. And I think the last one is, it's completely separate. It's just don't overuse the hook, especially if you're a UCPIQ writer. And I know a lot of you guys are applying it for UC system. What is a hook? It's like, you know, starting with this super fluffy opening, right? And guys, UC readers like it straightforward first and then give me a substance next, right? So they don't want the fluff in the front. If you're going to use like something really fancy, like a hook, whether it's like a quote or some like, you know, imagery, like imagery heavy stuff to engage the senses, like limit that to maybe like one, maybe two essays tops. Because again, you don't want to be predictable with it. If you're like, if you have a fluffy hook every single time, they're like, okay, like caught on to it. This is like boring now. And it becomes a really bad thing. It's called a cliche, right? So you don't want to like be all cliche about it. Reserve a hook for, I think, like one essay usually, right? And that should be when it's most appropriate to use it. You shouldn't try to force a hook. Guys, we're not in like fourth and fifth grade when your teacher was like, okay, guys, let's have a fancy starter or a snappy starter. And it's like, guys, you're 12th grade, right? We're expecting a high level of writing from you. If you still have to resort back to quotes, it's not a good indication of your writing ability, you know, of every single starter.
Or just 100% stay away from them as your openers. Just a really good tip that I've actually learned for trying to start to write essays is like leading with something that leaves your reader questioning. So like for example, like I'm just trying to think of one of my UC essays. I'm pretty sure I was discussing the like community prompt, like what have you done to make your community a better place? I started that essay off by saying my BART card is worn from where my fingers were holding it on all my trips to the BART station.
Why was it worn? Why was it worn?
Exactly. Yeah. So it leaves your reader questioning and leaves them interested in finding out more about like
what were you doing on BART? That's an excellent example. Yeah. And so that actually serves as a metaphorical context for what you're about to present, right? Yeah. So that's really, really cool. I agree. Again, not everyone is as cool as you are though, Durga, in terms of writing ability, right? So just saying, let's move on. So, okay, essays aside, what's the next check? Activities and awards. I got a couple things here. How about everyone just proofreads? you know, it's like, hey, Dan, can you check my activities? I'm like, sure. And it's like, why is this like completely misspelled? Why is this you know, capitalized when it shouldn't be? It's like, come on, guys. Again, we're in 12th grade. Be professional, right? Show us that you can actually put some effort into this, because it's like, you know, again, lack of effort is like, well, do you even really care? You know, and so like, that's the very first thing. It's so basic, but just proofread your stuff. I feel like we live in an age where it's like, everything is like auto-corrected. That it's like, you just assume everything to auto-correct for you. And it's like, no guys, it's not auto-correcting. Yeah, so that's like one tip. Any thoughts from you on terms of last minute checkups in the activity section of the
app? I would just make sure that you're ordering your activities correctly, because that order is really, really important. Make sure that you're putting the most impactful ones first. I'm sure Dan has gone over this with you guys the office or over Zoom, but make sure you're putting those, like the activities that you've done the longest or that you like feel like you have the most to talk about up at the front, and then everything else should like be subsequently like scattered below.
This is a good segue into, I think, the what versus the why. So here's another check, guys. You know, as you're looking through your whole app, you know, have you done a good job of substantiating why you did the things you did, right? And so just so you guys know, like, you know, the activities portion is really designed for you to tell me, like, you know, the titles even themselves, like, tell me what you did, right? But that doesn't tell me why. So I would really use the description to focus more so on the why you did them and why it mattered, right? What you learned, focus less of your work kind of about like what it was and like what you did and what you accomplished. We get it. You know, we get what you did. Like, there's so many resume packers out there nowadays. It's like, it's sickening. So how about this? Differentiate yourself by just telling me why it mattered, right? And this leads me to another tip with regards to activities. And I said this during the last podcast, but in case you missed it, additional comments is a great time to really elaborate on why it mattered, right? I think I muted myself. Am I back?
Yeah, there you go. You're back.
Yeah, I was using hand movements. Anyway, I was saying additional comments is an excellent place to put the why you did the things you did. And so it's like 600 words, you know, use that instead. And don't become so dependent on the activity section. Stop tripping about that. But again, guys, look through all of your stuff, whether it's like the activity section, the additional comments, and also the PIQs and any essay. It could be the Common App, UT Austin, doesn't matter. And like, did you do a good enough job at telling me why you did the things you did? That's pretty much it on the activity side of things. Anything on your end, Durga?
No, yeah, well, I think you pretty much covered it. It's the entire like show not tell aspect that I just always try to nail into any student who I'm working with. You need to like tell me why exactly you did it. You need to tell me how it made you feel. You need to tell me like all these nuanced things about it, not just what you did.
Here's another final check. Yeah, and speaking of the why, so how about this? How about what you chose as your major? You know, a lot of students, they don't explain why they're choosing their major. And it's interesting even because like even with the UCP IQs, you're given four, right? And I noticed that some students actually don't they don't answer like anywhere in the four PIQs that they're given. That's four essays, like why you're choosing your major. So it's like, you know, where should you do that? Well, there, I would really encourage you, if you didn't answer it in any of your PIQs, don't force it. It's like, don't integrate it into a PIQ when it just shouldn't be there, especially if like you're already within word count and it flows really well. I would certainly just put that as a blurb in additional comments. It should be, in fact, it probably should be your very first blurb. Like you should just describe like, you know, why your major is like, what, like, why are you interested in it? You know, what do you plan on doing with it? You know, at least 100 words would be nice, you know. Otherwise, like, you know, a reader will read your entire app and like, they'll just have no context as to like, you know, why, like why you're trying to, you know, study what you're trying to study. But like, yeah, Durga, like I'm trying to recall, I don't remember every essay you wrote, but did we cover that? Oh, and this is also kind of tricky for people who are undeclared, and I'll talk about that in a second, but you know, How did you address like, you know, what your major was and why?
So when I was applying to college, I was mostly applying under political science. And at that point I had done like several things that had kind of led in that direction. Like I was working with I'd started a nonprofit. I was working with like a business club. I was working with like several organizations, speech and debate, that all kind of led down that same like political science path. I would say like, at that point, I mean, I'm currently studying international relations, which is like sort of a different wheelhouse. But at that time, I was very much interested in like politics and why things around me were working the way that they were, all the internal workings of like the government, like what motivates people essentially to make the decisions that they do in politics when like it affects so many people's lives. And I was just like, at that point, very fed up with what I was seeing in the world around me, which is why I wanted to study political science. And I made it a point to make that very clear in all of my essays. Like, I'm unsatisfied with the state of the world. I want to help change it, which is why I want to study political science and like economics, I think is what I was planning on doing at that point. And I would say that like making sure that narrative is consistent within all of your essays, especially your UC essays, is a huge, huge plus. Like making that one, like, a constant through line, like evident in your UC essays is a huge like, that I have.
And that's a good final check. And I think that's a good one to close on is like, okay, read through your app one time, you know, and it might even be good to have like, you know, a friend, well, I don't know about a friend, but maybe your dad, you know, parent or something, if you have them present or if you're comfortable with it, or a best friend, you know, someone you can trust to give you good feedback. And I'd say do this. After you read through the app, you know, maybe it's ask them, okay, what are the top three things you recall? You know, and if you can have someone recall three things about you, I think that's pretty good. But if someone's struggling to recall much anything, Houston, we have a problem, right? And I think I like to do this also for essays. It's like read an essay out loud through, right? Can you summarize afterwards for me what you took away about that student in Lardy? Less than 15 words. Sometimes if you actually can, even less than even 10 words. Because what I've learned is that a lot of people are trying to say a whole lot, but they don't say much at all because they just put a whole bunch of stuff in here, right? Like I'm gonna throw all these activities and awards and PIQs and essay, all these things in here. I'm just gonna hope to God that, you know, I get in. And it's like, no, it's like, you got to really focus on saying more with less, in that it's like, you got to stay focused, right? Like do I want a reader to really remember about me from this PIQ? And if your answer to that question is more than 20 words, you're on the wrong track. It needs to be as few words as possible, because only if it's a few words will I remember it. If it's more than a few words, I'm not going to remember it, right?
Yeah.
So keep it simple, right, is what they say, is keep it as simple as you can. And so read through your app and say, and ask yourself that question, you know, what do I want someone to really remember from me? And am I accomplishing that, right? Is it clear to the reader that, you know, maybe I have leadership skills? Is it clear to the reader that advocacy is important to me? Is it clear to the reader that maybe that C in that chemistry class doesn't represent my academic aptitude? Which, by the way, guys, you should explain if that's what happened. Yeah, and that was an anomaly, right? And so it's like, make sure that whatever messages you're trying to send are crystal clear. Because if they're not, and you're trying to, you know, overdo it and compensate with fluff and filler, as Durga said in the very beginning of this episode, you're on the wrong track. Be straight. Be you, you know. Be vulnerable. Yeah, going back to square one. But Durga, any final tips for our seniors and their parents? Oh, I guess parents, relax. Everyone's okay. I guess it's the only piece of tip I can give
there. Yeah.
Any parents, additional work, like, you have?
Your kids are going to be fine. Like, yeah. Parents, especially, like, at this time, like, try your hardest not to put too much pressure on your kids. They're, like, going through a lot already, and high school is tough enough as it is. And make sure that you show them that you're proud of them, proud of everything that they've accomplished, because that's something that my parents definitely struggled with, and it did take a toll on me. So don't let that cycle continue. Wow. for students, like, just, you guys have got this. Like, the year is almost over. You guys are almost done with all of your applications. This time, like, where you're waiting for your applications, realize that you might not get into the place that you had set sight for yourself, and realize that that is ultimately okay. Like, that is 100% what happened to me. I wanted to go to a school in the East Coast. I ended up in Los Angeles, and I could not have imagined a better experience for myself. So be very, very open-minded. You are going to go to a university that in and of itself is such an incredible privilege. And, like, yeah, university ranks are so trivial. Like, don't keep those in mind. Like, don't beat yourself up if you don't get into your dream school. Realize that, like, there is so much out there for you, whichever university you end up at, and you should be proud of yourself for everything you've accomplished up to this point.
Yeah, honestly, Durga, I'm going to leave it at that. That was an excellent end to this podcast, especially the tip to parents and the students. Thank you so much for your wisdom, man. This was so cool.
Thank you so much for having me, man. I had such a great time.
I just hope everyone has a safe Thanksgiving again. You know, I know there's a lot going on right now, and just piggybacking off what Durga said, it can be really stressful. So let's be thankful. You know, let's be as thankful as we can for each other, for the opportunity to even go to college. You know, bringing it back to the basics, Durga. It's just good stuff, man. But there's a reason why you're here. And so thank you. Thank you so much for your time, Durga. It was a pleasure having you. I wouldn't be surprised if we had you. All right, guys. See you later.